Welcome to Hard Reboot, everybody. I'm Matt.
I'm Alan.
And I'm Jake.
And we're back with our, I guess, our first official Verncraft on the spooky month.
Yeah.
Happy spooky month.
This Woo. One is festive.
It is.
It's not random anymore. It's festive.
We just kind of hit a good idea and ran with it, really, is what happened.
Yeah. I think the first one was like, yeah, we can do this. That would be fun. And the second one was like, oh, oops, this is Verncraft. And then we're like, let's do a thing.
Yeah. So this is, again, our, I guess, now annual squishing together of the Jules Verne oeuvre and Lovecraft.
Hey, just remind, it's been so long since we've recorded one of these. This is a swearing podcast, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, nobody give me any shit for crossovers, okay? Okay, this is public domain. There's no fucking rules. Anyone gives me shit, I swear to God I will block you. I don't care if you are my mother.
With that being said, let's talk a little bit about the story that we're referencing today, yes. Which is The Invasion of the Sea, which was printed first under the title L'Invasion de la Mer in 1905.
That's French for Invasion of the Sea.
I puzzled that together. Hey, other quick update. My phone's in the other room charging, so I can't look up anything. I can look it up on the computer I'm recording on, but that is inconvenient because of my setup. So
well,
all the info I get is from you guys.
Yeah. There's not a lot to look up. The book is actually pretty succinct. The short version is that a bunch of Europeans decide it would be a good idea to turn the Sahara Desert into an ocean by funneling waters from the Mediterranean Sea. That turns out to be a very bad idea. An earthquake strikes and lots of people die.
Who is invading? Is the sea the invader, or is there something?
Yeah, it's invasion of the sea.
Oh.
The sea itself is the invader.
That's kind of the end result. The first result is that a bunch of French military and engineering types kind of storm the Sahara and are like, we're going to make this a sea now. Don't worry about it at all.
You're welcome. We're white people.
And of course, the
Berbers.
The natives. What word am I looking for?
The Berber tribes.
The Berber. Thank you. So, of course, the Berber tribes are there and the white people are just like, hey, screw you. We don't care. Bye.
Yep. Well, man.
And
everything
lots
old
of
is
the Berber
racist.
Tribe dies.
Yeah.
Lots of them.
The sea invaded. Also, what a weird, like, we're going to make this desert a sea. Not freshwater. Not something sustainable that will help you. No, we're going to make it a resort for us, white people. You're welcome. That's
pretty much what the goal was. The idea was so that it could open up the Sahara, the new Saharan beachfront property, for commercial and military purposes. And here's the thing we're probably going to want to change. At the end of it, when the earthquake hits, the sea floods the Sahara and murders all the Berbers.
Yeah, we definitely should maybe not.
Yeah, I think we'll pivot away from that. But
yeah.
To be fair, in very heavy scare quotes, because there's no way to be fair about this really, really stupid idea. The other reason was to develop trade within other parts of Africa.
Yeah.
Okay.
And use this sea to allow for trade in between different places where they would have to be crossing vast expanses of desert. Now they would be crossing vast expanses of water because that's somehow better.
I have two.
Water that you can't drink?
Yeah, water that you can't drink or grow plants with. Well, you could grow seaweed with. So the kale industry is going to boom.
And mangroves. You can
actually.
You can grow mangroves with seawater.
I just realized kale is not seawater, or is not sea plants, even though I think it is.
It's lettuce.
It's just straight up, it's like super lettuce. Yeah. Okay, so here's a question that we need to ask, because last time we had a guest, and this time we do not. We thought maybe we would, but then, oops, we're recording today, and we haven't figured out a guest yet. So you just get, you know, Hard Reboot Classic. How do we pick what genre, and how do we pick what medium?
Well,
presumably,
because we're doing this like a Verncraft kind of shared universe deal, it kind of felt like.
So the genre kind of figures itself out then. It's spooky.
It's spooky, probably pulp horror probably again, or horror with something bolted on. and then probably just a movie. Like, this is like another one in the Vernoncraft universe.
Well, here's the problem. The second Vernoncraft entry was an ARG.
What are we talking about here? We only have
the,
one.
We did Around the World in...
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
80 Days? Yeah.
I didn't count that as Vernoncraft.
No, we definitely talked about how it's loosely Vernoncraft.
Okay. Huh.
So, I mean, we can just do another... Even though the first one was like a sci-fi miniseries. Like a Sci-Fi Channel original Ridge miniseries.
Yeah.
I think.
Or, yeah. Either
or Netflix,
way.
Yeah.
Hey, how long would it take you to write... How about we each pick a genre?
Okay.
Like, or not a genre, a medium.
Okay.
We just throw medium in the pot, and then we just pull up a random number generator, 1 through 3, or if you got a die handy, we can do it that way. And then we just figure it out. We just randomize it. What if we let the fates decide?
I have a die. I even have a D6. So.
So I'm going to be easy and say movie.
Okay. So you're 1 and 2, Jake.
I'm going to say... I would say musical, and I hope it's not me.
Oh, Jesus, Jake. That's 3 and 4, and I hope we don't hit those.
I kind of hope we do.
I really hope we don't. I regret that immediately.
Fuck, okay, I guess we're allowed to get weird with it then.
I panicked. You don't have to. You can get normal with it if you want. Sandwich this dice with normal.
Okay, then I am going to go just normal. This is going to be a TV show for 5 and 6.
Okay. Okay, in my defense, I just got a flu shot.
Yeah, you know, so. You're probably already sick and don't know it.
Honestly,
right, here we go.
Probably.
Not 3 and 4.
Musical.
Not 3 and 4.
Musical. Musical.
I don't even know what to do with that.
Musical. Musical.
It rolled off the desk. I'm re-rolling.
Oh, God.
5.
Oh, thank goodness.
We're doing a TV show.
Oh, phew.
A musical TV show. Okay, let's go.
No.
We can do a musical episode, maybe, but... oh, God.
Look,
okay.
Unfortunately, I just put the idea of musical on the table.
You did. It's
so,
gonna be there forever. Okay.
Whips.
So we like horror. Do we want to keep kind of the pulp feel to it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So my other question is, where is the Sahara Desert? I know Africa.
It's all North Africa.
And I've seen the movie Sahara and referenced it on 3 podcasts in 3 weeks.
Yeah, you know, you have. And I love that movie, but I also know the book series it's from. And I know that at one point, the hero of that movie, Matthew McConaughey, raised the actual Titanic.
Oh, I got to read these books.
They're not great.
Wait, in the movie, did he raise the Titanic?
There was a clipping referencing the book.
Okay.
You know,
I do also love that movie because... It's just exactly the kind of bad that I like my movies to be.
I have never seen it. I don't know what y'all are talking about.
It's an adventure movie where Matthew McConaughey and Steve Zahn and a girl who I don't remember.
Was it Penelope?
I think it was Penelope Cruz, yeah.
Yeah.
And they go to the Sahara for a reason. Gosh, it's been a minute since I've seen that movie.
They go to find a Confederate ironclad that wound up in the middle of the desert.
It's bad, but good.
Huh.
Don't think about it too much, Alan. It'll hurt, I promise.
Anyway.
Okay, so I'm going to give my first gut reaction to Vernoncraft Invasion of the Sea.
Okay.
Rialle is under the Sahara.
Didn't we go to Rialle in last one?
I think we did Rialle in Journey to the Center of the Earth.
I don't know how.
I don't know how to pronounce it.
That's
seen trick. It
no one can.
Down.
Yeah. It's okay. A nonsense word.
So maybe instead of the city, maybe there is an old one, a great old one under the desert, which is what causes the earthquake towards the end.
I mean, there's that many pillared city lost in the desert. I mean, that's supposed to be the Arabian Peninsula, but we could shift it. You can make it something about Nyarlathotep because it's Egypt is right there.
Didn't we have him in the last one? No, we had...
Oh, no, he showed up in the last one because
he shows
up
the last one. Okay.
Everywhere.
He shows up everywhere.
Yeah, cool.
He's like an evil fury.
Is like, yeah, he's kind of the constant within all of Lovecraft.
Because he's just like the chaos agent.
Yeah, so... Man, one of us should have listened to the...
Yeah, I even thought about it, and it was just like
the last episode.
Nah. Basically, we had it be like post World War One, and the like actual access to the center of the Earth was like a volcano that erupted in Central America or the Caribbean.
Yeah, okay, it was Central America. I was like, where did they go? And it wasn't Africa, so we can't tie it that way
because it was off of the Yucatan Peninsula, which is supposedly where
it's one of the stuff places. Is. Yeah,
right.
Cool. Okay, so I'm picturing this like fundamentally. I'm picturing this being like, we maybe get to the Sahara like a couple episodes in.
Right. Maybe at the end of the second.
Ooh, or is it split focus where we're gonna see something from the tribes and something from the military side?
I don't know. There's options for both. We have a lot of options for if we pick either. I have a question. Are we keeping it the same time frame, like still that kind of post World War One, or do we want to like jump around somewhere? Because our two entries are so wildly different that we don't really need to. We don't have a pattern yet, you know.
Yeah, The book was published in 1905, which is pre World War One, just kind of barely.
Okay.
We could have that happen, or we could set it post World War One, and maybe even like, or actually, if we set it before, we could go back and like, at some later date, if this ever becomes a real project, and just like tie in a character or something that's going to show up in the first movie,
right?
Kind of Coulson-ness.
Yeah.
So I have a question.
Uh huh.
Who is going to summon the powers of the old ones? I feel like saying the indigenous tribe is A, way too easy, and B, mildly uncomfortable.
Trouble, yeah.
Well, more than mildly uncomfy, if I'm being honest. So do you think the French do, or do you think that it is just completely disconnected from the two groups of people, and it's just something that happens?
Go ahead.
They dig the hole, right? Dig a big hole to get to, or a trench, I guess, rather. Mm-hmm. The Mediterranean Sea is, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm garbage at geography. Very big and also inland. Like, it's not like an ocean. It's just like a saltwater sea in.
Yeah, it's connected to the Atlantic and I guess the Indian, but yeah.
There is some feeder, so more water will get into it, or else it'd be like, it's weird they're just like, moving, they're splitting the water without any, you know.
Yeah, no, more water
for hydrodynamics. Okay,
it would probably lower the average shoreline a couple inches, but you know, whatever.
Right, yeah, that's not their problem. More beach.
Yeah.
Well, so
what I was thinking was it's kind of there's kind of three groups. There's the tribal group that I think are the easy answer is they're descendants from the people who are keeping the great old one locked up. Like that whole deal, basically steal that directly from the Mummy movie, the first good one.
Yes.
And the second group is the French, who probably are like actually just driven by, you know, we're going to improve the land and make new commercial trade and colonialism and all that bad stuff. Group probably operating within the French that are like, yeah, but no, we're going to wake this thing up and have power. Thank you.
Matt, you're a history buff.
Yes.
You like a history. Alan, I don't know. I don't know your feelings on a history.
I enjoy a history, but I am much more of a science.
Okay, that's what I thought. When was there any like Nazi activity here during World War II?
Oh, so much. North Africa was a major theater.
Okay. What if instead of pre-world or post-World War One, it is concurrent or just before or just after, maybe just after World War Two, and the French, instead of like, we're going to make a big beach, you know, we're going to make a cool resort, there's like a lot of Nazi activity going on here, and they're like, well, let's drown the fuckers.
I like that. If we're going to do that, we can also make this an allied force instead of just French.
Yeah, that's one of the a big thing. And then that way we can have like the Berber tribes. Is that what you? That way they are not just like weird. Like they kind of get, they are caught up in it. So like their side isn't is less like,
instigative.
Like, yeah. Like we are getting attacked. So like we have to like do something about it. It's more like, yeah, we also don't like the Nazis, but hey, there's some stories about what's under here, so be careful. And then they weren't, and then, you know, we can go over there. That way we can have more of a front, and the conflict can come from ideology rather than opposing sides.
Also, thanks to Dr. Internet, the Sahara Desert reaches across Egypt, Sudan, Chad, Libya, Niger, Algeria, Mali, Mauritania, the Western Sahara, and Morocco and Tunisia. So it's a
it's a big boy then.
Yeah. I mean, it stretches across the entire top part of the across the entire north of Africa.
So yeah, they would definitely want to. That would be very good for trade. Yeah.
For our purposes, I think it would be good to start in Egypt and have it move down. The most direct route would be for it to cut through Libya to get to Niger. Niger is kind of in the center of it.
Yeah. Also, and this kind of goes back to our planning on kind of when and who, moving it up kind of removes some of that colonialism from it a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, that's kind of one of the reasons I wanted to do it, is it takes that out and makes it more of a, like, this is how we're, like, they're doing something and we have a weird plan to stop it.
Post-war cleanup, yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but I like the cliche of Nazis and black magic.
I love it. I love it so much.
I really like that. Because they don't need a reason to be more evil, but it's really nice to pair them with something as evil, if not less evil than they are.
It's not like they are more evil because they use magic. It's just, of course, they're also looking into black magic.
Yeah, and of course they're going to use this magic for horrible purposes.
Yeah, so maybe they're doing something. They're trying to find anyone want to do a quick goog on the many pillared city? What's that deal is?
Yeah, 1 second.
Because I know there's like the Dreamland. That's not in the Dreamlands, right? That's an actual city. Okay, because the Dreamlands is a whole other can of worms.
It's the Nameless City. The Nameless City, yeah. It's the City of Pillars. The Nameless City is the book. It was supposed to be on the Arabian Peninsula, but that can be, like, misinformation.
It was the place that Abdul al-Hazared, the mad poet, dreamed on the night before he sang his unexpected couplet. That is not dead which can eternal lie, and with strange aeons even death may die.
So that ties it right into Cthulhu and Ryleth and all that.
Here's what I was actually thinking of, because there's actually a real life lost city in Arabia, in the Arabian Peninsula, called Iram, the City of Pillars. It's mentioned in the Quran, things like that. So I don't want to take the tie to the Quran too deep, because that's going to be stepping on people's religion and we don't want to do that. But, well,
and we'd need to move it because Saudi Arabia is
a little far from the Sahara.
Africa.
Yeah. But what if there are several cities of pillars kind of across the world?
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
All places of power.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. That would make sense. So this is, okay, we said TV show. We need to kind of unpack a little bit. Is this a network television show? Is this a like sci-fi cable channel show? Is this a premium?
I don't think it's premium.
It's gonna be too pulpy for that.
And I don't think it's network. I think it could get darker than networks would like.
Yeah. I was kind of looking at, because you know, when you think shared universe, you tend to think Marvel these days. So I was kind of looking at, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but that's a little too fluffy and friendly. I do think, like, Sci-Fi Channel show, like, one of the good ones.
Right. Your Continuums, or I'm sure there's more. Eureka?
Yeah, Eureka or Warehouse 13, or did they do not Jupiter Ascending?
That was a movie.
Yeah, the original book was called Leviathan Wakes. I don't remember what the series is called. It's kind of an ongoing dark sci-fi thing.
Oh, the Expanse?
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah.
Something like that. Something that can get real dark and gritty. And also, it's just like, we're on a cable network. We don't really follow your rules.
Right. If we're on after 10 p.m., we can say shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
At the season finale, we could probably say fuck if we were feeling really edgy.
I don't think so. We haven't. No one's crossed that threshold yet.
Yet.
I wonder if we could say it in another language and then have it captioned wrong.
Yeah.
You can absolutely say it in another language and have it captioned just like drats.
Yeah. Be great.
The only bad part is fuck is kind of fuck.
It is.
Across the board, like the expletive. Yeah. You know, so we'd have to get creative with it, but you know.
That's also, future problem.
Also, this way, if we have it on network, not network on like cable, it's like a shorter season. It's tighter. We don't have to like fit a like 22 episode order where things can get a little bloated. But we still have like more than 13, probably usually around 16. I think is what cable networks used to do when I was paying attention to that kind of thing. Now I could not tell you.
Yeah, they tend to be around the 16, maybe 18 if it's real good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's aim for like a 16-episode season then. Just for grins and giggles. That gives us just enough room to play with things, but also a nice tight timeline.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the end of the first season is breaking ground, right?
I think the end of like episode 9 is breaking ground.
Yeah, the mid-season finale.
You know, like yeah. Right before you take a couple weeks off because of, you know, Sci-Fi Channel doesn't have sports, so I can't say preempted by sports. You know.
It would be the next Sharknado movie, yeah.
Yeah, Shark Week or fucking whatever.
Mid-season would break ground. I like that.
And then the season finale would be the earthquake and possibly the rise of the old one, depending on what we decide.
I think the earthquake should be the finale and leave it on a cliffhanger as to like what happened. Like,
mm-hmm.
maybe the last die? Shot. I think probably the last shot is like a hand coming out of a crack in the earth, and we don't answer it until season 2.
I don't know if I want to get
get real weird with it.
Because then, like, what do you do for season 2? You have an old one on Earth? How do you deal with that? Like, what's the plan, you know?
Well, what if the surprise is it's someone who was lost in the movie, in the Journey to the Center of the Earth movie, and somehow they're here now?
Okay, I don't remember any single person at all in that movie.
Neither do I.
In that miniseries? So,
neither do I.
Because it was definitely a miniseries, right? It was like a three-hour... episodes.
It was a Sci-Fi Channel original miniseries.
Yeah.
Thing, so
okay.
But like, we could have something like that happen where it looks like it's going to be an old one, and then no, not yet.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Okay.
That's a little too teasy for me.
Okay.
Maybe we just spin a different direction. So maybe the great old ones, especially since when you think of Lovecraft, you immediately think of insanity, the power of the mind, the sanctity of sanity. What if the great old ones, they're real, but they work through insanity? So the end of the show for the first season is the earthquake hits, and people start seeing like hallucinations, and each one is different, and you don't know what's real. And we kind of leave the viewer questioning their own sanity and what is real, what is not. You know, have some clues in there as to what's actually happening, so they can kind of, if they look hard enough, they can fish it out.
I like the idea. I think that's teasy in a different direction. You know, I think literally the last thing that should happen is there's an earthquake and everyone goes, oh no, we're going to die. And then the show, like the season's over. And mm-hmm. then you got to come back in 9 months. And then we like season 2, we can have that kind of thing where like, you know, you don't know what it is. I kind of want the old ones to be a little more, and this is an oxymoron, like a little more concrete, like we know what they are, and like mm-hmm. they have like a thing and a purpose, because we did have like Gnarlhotep, like, and he had a clear set of rules and powers in the first in the miniseries.
They had the Necronomicon in the miniseries, didn't they?
They were trying to get that to do something. Boy, we should have listened to that episode. I'm sure it was great.
It was present. They did have it, and I think we said it was a copy of it. So we can easily have another one that's like brought from the British Museum or something, or the British Library.
But if we could remember any of our characters, we just age them up 30 years and
bring them in. I mean, that's totally possible. Like,
yeah,
we don't necessarily need to name them. Just like they can come in the second season even and be like, oh, hey, you guys are going nuts. Let me
let's see what we can do about this
in heavy air quotes. Because this could be the fun thing. Like, what if the ramp up in season one to the earthquake have some weird things happen and like translate it into like maybe some of the Berbers, like shamans, actually have magic? Because we made this a magic world.
Yeah.
They have magic, so they're doing some of it. And some of it might be bleed through from whatever is underground. And have it so like nothing really is a great old one in the first season. And at the second season, have Nyarlathotep be like, oh, hi, y'all are doing interesting things here. I'm going to start messing with everything.
See, I think we got to have Gnarlhotep in the first season. I think they don't come up with the plan to like dig a trench and like, you know,
submerge.
I agree.
Unless someone's like, hey, you know what you should do?
Here's the bankroller.
Yeah.
Is he doing the same role that they did kind of badly in the Wonder Woman movie with Remus Lupin?
Yeah, I think he is a little bit mustache Aries.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But more like obviously more clearly sinister, because you'll have seen the, you know, I mean, you don't not necessarily you will have seen, but like it will be like, hey, this is tied to that thing.
Yeah.
You should watch that thing again. Here it is on the week leading up to the premiere of the TV show. You should watch it again.
It could even be that we get two people playing the role. So the banker like does a shapeshifty thing, like he looks like just a maybe slightly sinister banker. And
did we, and I mean, I don't expect anybody to remember because I obviously do not. We didn't have it so that he was like changing a lot, did we?
Not a lot.
Like, he was like one guy the whole time.
He was, but he could just like come and go, and nobody really was just like, why are you here?
Because I think if we want to do, I don't want to show shape-shifting. I don't want him to, like, you know, wave his hand over his face and be different. But maybe there is, like, a certain outfit. And anyone who's wearing that outfit is Gnarlhotep.
Ooh,
but
okay.
But we don't say that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, there's just a bunch of people in, like...
Or even a color.
No, you can't do color because it's... That's too...
And the only thing that
wide,
has like a
you know?
Distinct color tied to it is Haster and the King in Yellow.
True.
Yeah. But like we have, you know, he's in like a black suit or she or they or what have you. Like it's like a nice tailored black suit, like, you know, black shirt, black tie, like black on black on black. And anyone's wearing that is Gnarlhotep. We don't need to be like, look, it's Gnarlhotep. But like after a couple, you know, you'll piece it
You'll
together
it.
By the end of
yeah.
the season.
Yeah, teach them the visual language.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that a lot.
So, okay. I'm trying to think.
Okay, so if this is Nyarlathotep's plan, is to go in, do the excavation, maybe flood some people and get a body count going, and maybe just unearth whatever's down there. Maybe both.
Well, hold on. Now I'm thinking something else, because didn't we have it so that Gnarlhotep wanted to, like, in the miniseries, did we have it so that he was trying to work against the group, but also against the old ones? Like, was he playing everybody?
He's playing everybody, because he is literally chaos incarnate.
So maybe he... instead of being like, I want to raise another great old one, because like maybe he's like, no, I like it here. This is my, like, I'm the one who has like a real good foothold on this planet, and like that's kind of what I'm into right now. Maybe he's like, hey Nazis, you should definitely dig here, and he's like, hey Resistance, or Allied forces, you should stop them from digging there. And he's just like, I just kind of want to see what happens. I just want to see. And if it goes according to plan, a lot of people are going to die. And also, they'll probably flood that city so he can't come back. Like, we'll keep him trapped underwater.
Oh, okay. I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because he doesn't need to be like, I want to raise another old one. Like, what does he get from that? But if he's chaos, he's like, I want to see what happens. I'm going to put a lot of pieces in play. And I'm gonna just flip this Chuck E. Cheese upside down and see what happens.
Yeah,
I'm just
going to
sweep
that.
My hand across the chessboard and laugh.
Yeah.
No, that's very good. So, because that also kind of clears the field a little bit for a television show to have slightly less, like, cosmic villainy, where it's kind of just, like, human greed. Oh, and also Nazis, because fuck a Nazi.
But also, this way we can have, like, because we're on the Sci-Fi Channel. Yeah. We got to do some Sci-Fi Channel stuff, you know? We can't just have it be, like, a regular war thing, but, like, something kind of weird's happening in the background. Like, we got to have some, like, stuff going on, you know?
There's definitely, like, an occult war going on.
Yeah.
And that, too, is why I think playing with sanity could be interesting, is that as the characters progress and they dig deeper and, you know, they learn more about the magic and they learn more about all this stuff, the more they learn, the less sane they become. So they start seeing hallucinations of, like, I can't ever remember what they're called, but the ones that are basically like floaty orbs of tentacles.
Yeah.
Shoggoths.
Okay. You're thinking those and not the ones that are like cones, right?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. No, Shoggoths. Yeah.
Or even deep ones, like they're sitting there talking to someone, and they turn their head, and when they turn back, they're looking at a monster.
I like that.
I think that's a little goofy. I think that's like, it can be played serious, but I feel like it would be real weird to balance, like, having people have hallucinations, and like,
but that's
how far do you go with it? And then like, oh, they're looking at a monster, and then like, we can't have monsters be real then.
Well, I think that's also very Lovecraft, though. Like, sanity is a resource to be used.
Like, right. It's like a meter. It's like you got a sanity meter, and you chip away at it. But I think we don't need to have it be that broad. Like, the hallucinations and stuff, I don't think it should be like they turn around and there's a monster. But, like, maybe we can play with, like going back to your thing, Alan, about, like, the viewer's sanity is like, maybe have like weird stuff go on in the sides, or like just do a lot of tricks like that.
Like, you have a character, you don't say anything about it, but like a character is talking and they leave and they were standing near a mirror and the reflection stays for just a moment too long.
Yeah, things like that. Classic Matrix, that, you know, like there's people walking by and everyone is a set of twins, or, mm-hmm. you know, or whatever, like things in the background look like they're sinking slowly. And I don't think we need to like
call attention to it.
It doesn't need to. Definitely we don't want to call attention to it until at least season two, where like people realize that like this is making us bonkers. But I also think I don't want it to be there the whole time. I don't want it to be like a constant feature, just like slowly as we get deeper into it. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's just like, you know, a thing here, a thing there.
The nice thing is, I think I like this. I like that we're kind of building up with it that way. If we had even a moment where we did show a monster where someone is so far gone, probably near the end of the season, where they do see a Shoggoth, like even just off in the distance or something, it could be that they're seen beyond like a veil of some sort, and that's right. actually real. Which is just a nice tease, because eventually we're going to have to get some weird monsters going on.
Yeah.
Like, season two probably introduces some of them. Season three is just like, oh, we're going weird now, guys.
I don't even know what season... Season three is, like, recovering from or season two is recovering from the earthquake and like damage control on that, and then also now there's this big city that we've sort of half flooded that we need to figure out how to either flood all the way or like, you know, bury again or something like that. I don't even know what you do for season three.
I mean, season three has got to kind of be like, we don't succeed at blocking it and something wakes up.
Sure.
Like, season three's got to be that kind of like, oh, we done goofed. Okay. So, who are some of our characters here? Because we're going to have, like, a new cast for this, right? Because movie actors are expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, we didn't get movie actors before. We got the same caliber of actor that we would get for a sci-fi channel anyway.
It's true.
But those characters are 30 years older now.
Yeah, so we could recast as needed.
Mm-hmm. Or just, yeah, some old makeup.
So we need us a couple faces on each side, right?
Yep, we need a chief Nazi scientist.
And probably I want to have one person, not like on the Nazi side, but someone who is captured that has like a knowledge of this that the Nazis are forcing to like figure out where it is or something to that effect.
Like they kidnapped an archaeologist or something.
Yeah, that way we have like a reason, like a POV character that we can go to on like the Nazi side if we want to at any point, and we don't have to be like, oh, we're following a Nazi and they're not so bad, because like, yeah, they are. They're all that bad. But like, I want one person who is not a Nazi who is there that is not happy about it.
Yeah, no, I like that. That gives us a good way in without being like, hey, and now our Nazi friend, because fuck a Nazi again.
I think it's very safe to say that it is hard reboot stance of fuck a Nazi.
Yeah. Oh, across the board. Just, fuck a Nazi.
TM.
I mean, that should be the stance of every right-thinking human. No,
that's public domain, Alan. That's for everybody.
Yeah. Oh, that is true. That's for everybody.
we're not cooperating in that. Please, everyone
this is,
take
this
it.
This is the seatbelt of fucking Nazis. Like, yeah. Just punch
everybody
them.
Have
anyway.
It. Okay, so let's have, like, the scientist and the military leader and the captive.
Yeah.
We're gonna
On the good guy side, I definitely want a former French resistance.
Oh, heck yeah.
Someone, mm-hmm. because no one in the history of war has been a badder ass than the French resistance.
Oh, yeah. They're the best. So we definitely have. Ooh. Okay. Okay. He's one of the. He or she is one of the engineers. So they like. The war ended. They got back to business. They're like, I'm an engineer by trade. I'm going to get as far away from my war-torn nation and the memories there as possible. Oh no, Nazis again. Yeah, now I gotta do this.
If like I, because like the thing with having a French resistance is like, if the Nazis aren't done, then we are not done. Like that's mm-hmm. that's like why they're there, and you don't really need a reason past that. They just hate a fucking Nazi.
Love them.
I also feel like it is extremely easy to do like a British scientist. What if we had an Australian scientist?
All right. We need to get a real Australian. I've been listening to a lot of bad Australian accents lately. Mm-hmm. We need to get one real Australian.
Heck yeah.
So
I pulled up a list of all of the Allied powers.
Okay. Because your boy did not take a lot of history classes. I went to
U.S.,
school.
Britain, France, USSR, Australia, Belgium, Brazil, Canada, China, Denmark, Greece, Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, Poland, South Africa, Yugoslavia. It makes sense for a Grecian to be there.
Yeah. Because they're
if you're gonna get the Mediterranean involved, you're gonna want someone. Also, yeah, you're right. They're pretty close.
I have a request, and it's based off of people that I knew in real life. I want to have a South African. I want it to be a lady, and I want her to be the pilot.
Okay. Sure, I'm on board.
Let me tell you a quick story here, real fast. It's very quick because we're 40 minutes into this recording. So, real quick story. When I lived in South Africa, I knew two old ladies who were test pilots for the South African Air Force during World War II, and they had more hours in a plane than anyone else because the actual pilots were terrified to go up in planes that women had serviced because that time of the world. But these two ladies, like, the war ended, they cycled out with more hours in planes than anyone else in the Air Force. And they're just like, yeah, we're not done yet. So they went to Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe and Zambia, and they're like, hey, can we join your Air Force? And they're like, yeah, yes, please. So cool. Like crazy, like adventure seeking ladies. They're just like, no, I don't care what you're doing. I'm better at it.
I like that a lot.
I like that a lot. I also think I don't want any Americans.
I feel like this isn't America's business, this go around.
I feel like we got to have an American. I feel like we got to, like, not, we don't need, like, America, the country, to be on board with this plan, but you know there is an American who is like, no, I'm in for this. Like, this is what I want to do.
Maybe an American archaeologist?
Yeah, or someone on the engineering side, not the military side.
I was about to say, probably need to be a brain and not a brawn.
I kind of just, I want like a classic American, like square jawed hero.
Stereotype.
Who's just like, no, I want it. But like, not like, you know, ooh, a boring ooh, stereotype. Ooh, just ooh. Like, no, I just showed up. I'm
like
not
a
here
Captain
on orders.
America.
Yeah.
I have an idea.
Also, maybe he should be AWOL. He's like, no, I wouldn't miss this for anything.
I have an idea for this.
Okay.
It's very good, I think. What if it's a guy, an American soldier who got shot down over France and is married to the resistance fighter?
Yes.
I'm in it.
Yes, 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 yes.
You get the square-jawed like action hero who's just like, yeah, this war's taken literally everything except my spouse, so fuck you, I'm staying with them.
If she's coming, then I'm here. And also, he was shot down over France. He was not supposed to be in a plane. He's not a pilot. Like, he was, like, he should absolutely be, like, infantry, who's just like, I want like, an action hero who does all these crazy things that they should, like, we talked about Wonder Woman a minute ago, like, Steve Trevor, who is, like, a pilot. But, like, aside from that, it's like, he goes to a place and he finds a thing. I want, like, this guy who is, like, that, but on accident.
Okay.
Like, he's like, I was infantry. I got, you know, stuck somewhere I shouldn't. I was the only one left. I stole a plane, learned how to fly it while I was in the plane, and then I got shot down over France because I didn't know how to fly a plane.
I like that. Yeah, no, I like that a lot.
I like that. I feel like everyone on this team needs to have a certain level of intelligence, because I think once we start messing with their sanity, I want them to
investigate. You don't need to be smart to be sane.
Well,
there's no tie to those things.
And
those are not the same meter.
The flip side of that, Alan, is that, yeah, there's going to be a lot of smart people that we can mess with their sanity on. Having this guy gives us just the kind of the dumb idiot hero who's going to get the job done, but can also be just like, hey, we need you to go do this. Why? Don't care. Just do it.
And also, if we just have a bunch of scientists, that's not very action-y. Like, we're not going to have...
Well, no, I'm
like,
not. I'm not saying that they all need to be scientists. How do I want to phrase this? That they're all willing to question what they see. That when they start going crazy, and when they start seeing things that aren't there.
So why wouldn't a regular guy also question that?
But also, Alan, part of that
as long
is,
as he's self-aware, as long as
no, I don't. I'm not saying we need an idiot. We don't need like. Launchpad McQuack, like on the team. I want like a guy who is like, I keep finding myself in worse and worse situations, except that I got married to this beautiful French resistance fighter. Like, that's what I want. I want a strong jawed American hero who we can use to be like, look, like this is that, but not what you're expecting. Like, not just like, it's not Captain America, but it's also not like, you know, Buck Rogers or Trunk Slam Chest or whoever, you know.
Right. That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're all kind of on the same page here. He's the guy who, when the punching happens, he's going to go do a real good punch.
Like, someone's going to need to lift something for all these nerds eventually. And like, I want someone who can lift that thing for them.
And his wife is going to be like, nah, I'm blowing shit up. You do you, man.
Yeah. Like I also kind of want someone from the USSR for the same reason. Like, I want people who are completely willing to burn down their hometown instead of having it be taken by Nazis.
Can we have basically that Russian guy from Atlantis? The one who was all about the explosions.
Look, I made a bridge. Took me like 2 seconds. Is that still on Netflix? I should watch that again.
If you haven't seen it, people, go watch it. It's an amazing movie.
It's really good. It is a crime that it is not. Like, Kiva should be in the Disney princess line. She's a princess,
yeah.
For Christ's sake.
Anyway,
Anyway,
we're rounding up towards 45 minutes recording, a little past. What else do we need on this? We kind of outlined a lot.
We need a title.
Yeah.
We don't need to get too in-depth on the characters because we're not making an actual television show yet. We're just, you know, we're just doing a podcast currently. Any other characters that we want to get in? Because I, like, Alan said something, you know, scientists and you know, more intelligent folk, and I don't think we figured any out except for...
We have, like, an Australian one.
There
needs to be, I think, obviously archaeologists. I think that's really important. I think an anthropologist would also be very important. They are very similar to an archaeologist, but also very different. Archaeology is a branch of anthropology, but...
Alan, I have an idea for the anthropologist. What if they didn't come with this expedition? What if they were already in place with the Berber tribe and serve as, like, the liaison there?
And translator. I like that.
Because that they could have, we can even give them a very easy answer. It's just like, I came over here at the end of World War II to try to figure out what the Nazis, like, what impact the war had on the tribes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We also.
And maybe they could be Egyptian.
Oh, that'd be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We do need some tribal people. Like, we need. I don't know if the Berbers or the Tuaregs are a shamanistic group, and I don't want to make that assumption. They are predominantly Sunni Islam. That's very good, actually, because they would know about the pillared city and all that, and just kind of be in place to. Yes, it's all coming together.
Yeah, we've planned this clearly. I don't know what roles we need filled, because I want there to be a fair amount of them, but, like, we need, you know, two or three main people for this, you know, POV area, you know? And I don't know literally anything about the Berber tribe, so it's hard for me to be like, we need someone who can do this and someone who can do that.
Well, and part of that's going to come out of, like, as much as we want to avoid colonialism, part of the pulp branding kind of gives us license to be like, well, there's some mysticism involved here. So even though they're predominantly Sunni, that doesn't mean the tribe wouldn't have someone who practices shamanism because they know that there's power there. And
I don't think we need to even, you know, make that leap. We're already playing with, you know, weird forces. It can just be like, knowing about that stuff gives you a certain level of acumen to, like, mess with it. Or even if we don't go that way, it's, you know, teachings and lore and stuff passed down that, like,
that's true. Yeah.
That they know how to keep the city from, you know, showing itself or whatever old one is in there from doing whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, maybe just like two or three people, like, obviously, like, the chief, the head of this particular tribe,
probably have maybe a kid, maybe like a younger member of the tribe who's going to be the kid.
Yeah. And then, like, someone, I know we're going to have, like, the Egyptian anthropologist as the liaison, but maybe someone that is his liaison to the tribe. Like, it's sort of like a two-pronged, like,
yeah,
saying, yeah, you know, so someone that can also be, like, you know, him, but for
them,
the actual voice of the tribe.
Yeah.
Someone who could even potentially be a romantic interest for the anthropologist down the line, maybe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think another character we need is kind of a wild card character who visits all three. So, like, a traitor of some sort.
Who is neutral besides Switzerland? Or can we just say it's a Swiss guy? And can we just cast Antonio Cesaro?
I mean, yes, please. That's fine.
Because I think having someone who is like a traitor or a, I don't want to say a mercenary, but like a, what is the middle ground between a traitor and a mercenary?
I mean, just both of those kind of roll together, like,
right, like someone who, like, is like, oh, you want this thing, okay, I will go find that thing. And, like, the only reason he's, like, dealing with the Nazis is, like, you know, ulterior motives, so it's not just like, I'm a neutral party because I'm Swiss. But it's like, no, I, you know, they know that the Swiss were neutral. So they're like, I'll take their money and I'll, you know,
Nazis probably trust his Swiss neutrality. And the Allies are like, yeah, but you can get us information from the camp, though, right? And he's like, yeah, sure. They're Nazis.
Oh, totes. Absolutely.
Fuck
yeah. Fuck a Nazi. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And then we can just go ahead and cast Cesaro right now.
Sure. I like it.
Because he's just amazing. He's a professional wrestler.
But he's
Alan.
Very good.
Okay, I was about to say, I have no idea who that is.
He's, I'm going to say, maybe the best professional wrestler on the planet. And the fact that he is not an Infinity Time World Champion is a sore spot for me and probably several other people. But he's also, like, knows five languages, just, like for real, and is, like, a tall, handsome man and who is built like a Greek god.
Yeah, if they cast him as James Bond, I wouldn't bat an eye.
Yeah.
I'd be like, yeah, no, that tracks. He's absolutely that. Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, no, I dig it. I guess just name? Are we going to name it?
So, the Invasion of the Sea, or
that's a little clunky for a series title.
Yeah.
That could be the title of the last episode.
Sure, yeah.
Of season one, anyway.
The French title, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I
mean, Sahara Sea? Is that too weird?
I don't think... I think that kind of raises a question that we didn't answer, is that, like, maybe they are under the guise of making this thing, this, like, this ocean front property in the Sahara. Maybe that's, like, the cover story. And the real reason is we're going to use it to destroy whatever the Nazis are doing. Like, okay. But we need permits to do it, because you can't just build a fucking trench without anyone noticing. Mm-hmm. You can't move an ocean over without anyone noticing or like talking to someone about it.
Yeah.
So Sahara Sea might work as long as we set up the cover in the first episode, but not like at the top of the show or at the very end of the show, but just like that is like kind of a through line for the first episode, is like, this is the plan.
Yeah, like the trailer would have some Howard Hughes kind of guy being like, we're going to flood the Sahara now and make ourselves just a boatload of money.
Yeah. Alan, any thoughts?
All of mine are the something below.
The sea below,
the city below.
Okay, City Below absolutely needs to be an episode title, because that's very good.
That's the season two premiere title.
Yeah. I kind of want something a bit more vague for the series.
Yeah, because I think that ties it to the trick, right? That kind of ties it to the prestige.
Yeah.
I kind of like Sahara Sea, because okay. It almost sounds like heresy.
Ooh, a little bit.
Yeah.
I could deal with that.
And there could definitely be some heretical things and heretical themes within the show.
Oh, heck
so
yeah.
It could just be kind of a tiny nod. Like, it's obvious it's the Sahara Sea, but it's also about heresy.
I'm fine with that.
Well, I mean, yeah, like, just, like, on the face of it.
Yeah.
All that old one stuff is...
Mm-hmm. Kind of heretical, yeah.
Literally heretical, yeah. So, okay, yeah, Sahara Sea. Print it.
Done. Hey, guys, we did it.
Netflix, Sci-Fi Channel, waiting on you. Mm-hmm. Balls in your court.
We've got our number.
We've got more of these coming, so every year you're going to get more ideas. Just write us a check already.
For Christmas sake. I'm not doing anything.
Seriously. Well, we don't actually have to randomly roll for next month, because we're going to have a guest on.
Oh, woo! Yeah. Hey, we don't know who that guest is going to be.
Nope.
Not yet.
We should... Hey, this goes up on Friday, right?
Yes.
So, if you want to be a guest on this show, let us know.
Yeah.
We're not going to promise it's going to be you, because presumably more than one person will say, hey, I would like to, but, like, you know, we'll pick through whoever.
We'll make a short list for sure.
Yeah.
Because, listen, we kind of want to do two guest spots at least every year, so, you know.
Yeah.
Chance will come around again. So we're going to do a similar thing where we'll end up with a short list of potential topics, and we'll choose it at the start of next episode.
Yeah, radical.
We're going to vamp for a second while I quickly check and see if we have any new reviews. The fun thing is, before we get down to any actual reviews, is we have a perfect 5-star rating, and we have enough reviews for it to print that.
Hell yeah.
Ooh, nice.
That's fun. Let me see all the reviews. Where did we stop? I think we did that one. We did Sugar Bolt, right?
We did. I think so. Is that the one that says take my money, or shut up and take my money, but don't shut up? Something to that effect?
Yeah.
We did that one.
Okay, so there's one from July. So I think we have a new one. If we already read yours, hey, congratulations, you get it twice. It's from username KOinable. Coinable? I don't know. I think that's a zero and not an O. It says, take my money. 5-star review. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate. This podcast is a great chance to listen to the creative rethinking of old works. Now, all we need is the developed product. Yeah, we do.
Again, that's not on us. That's on... Well, some of them might be on us, but mostly it's on Netflix or Amazon or Sci-Fi Channel.
I mean, it's like The Secret. We've done our part and put it out into the world.
Yeah, we're doing what we can right now. And within 5 years, the Sequinox television show will be real, so I'll have like at least a foothold on Netflix. So
I'm fine with that. So that's it for this month. I guess we put one in the can. So, hey, until next month, I've been Matt.
I've been Jake.
And I've been Alan.
And we'll see you later.
You've been rebooted.
That's all there is, though. That's the end of it. Hey, thanks for listening to Hard Reboot. You can find us on Twitter at RebootCast or email us at hardreboot@fifthdraw.com. Alan's on Twitter at Alan_Sells. Matt is at Matt Hoadley, and I am at JJ_Mason. Thanks for listening.
Hard Reboot is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. For more information, please visit creativecommons.org.